of God. Amen. It's a healthy crazy. Jesus then didn't stop by telling them that they needed to continue in the word to stay free. He also told them in John 10:10 that I didn't just come to free you. I came to give you Zoe life. The rendering life in the New Testament that he uses there in John 10:10 is Zoe. It's life like God would have it. And he says, I've come to not just give you life like God would have it, but to have it more abundantly. So now, get where I'm going with this, because if we're addicted to Jesus and we're addicted to winning, then you got to realize this is all that comes with this, and it's not a struggle. It's a natural way of living. Then he goes on, he's not done yet, telling us he's come to give us Zoe life, and he tells us later in John 14, he says, now, you've been watching me do a lot of things. He says, the things I'm doing, you're going to do. And even greater than these, because I'm going to be with the Father. And guess what? I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going there, but I'm going to send you the same Holy Ghost that will raise me from the dead once I'm dead. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And you're going to have that same power. He's with you now, Jesus is saying, but he's going to be in you. And when he's in you, he's never going to leave you. Never going to leave you anyplace, even if we do stupid things. How do you not enjoy getting addicted to Jesus and winning when you've got the whole package? Yes. And he'll never take any of that package away from us. And he says, this Holy Spirit, the one that will eventually raise me from the dead, he's going to teach you, encourage you, instruct you in the ways that I am so you will know me. Stay free, and learn how to stay as a winner in God's kingdom. Say this, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Now, you got to get addicted to winning, because I'm telling you what, when you got up this morning, it's not just because you're an American and you've got the freedom that's produced by our soldiers. You are free today because of what Jesus did on the cross and then freely gave it to you and me. And we're learning to operate in this. And that's why when we look at the Bible says in Acts 1:7, it says, the times and the seasons, it's not important that you know exactly what's going on. In fact, he says, no one's going to know the day or the hour. We may know the season. It's not important. He's telling that he's already been raised from the dead in Acts 1:7. He's already raised from the dead. He's given instructions. But he tells the believers, okay, here's that promise. Remember, you want Zoe life. You want God type of life. You want to stay free. Gather together and wait till I release the Holy Spirit that will not only come on you, but will get in you for the rest of your life. For he says, when that happens, you are going to receive power. And that power is not just the power to raise the dead. It's the power to enjoy life. It's the power to have a happy life. It's the power to share that good life with others. For you will be a powerful person with a testimony that you can share with others. Say others.
Others.
And that's the significance of what Jesus did. Now, all you believers that want to live and operate in this dimension of winning, and you want to stay addicted to it, he gives us a guideline in the very last book that John the Beloved wrote. And if you look with me to Revelations chapter 12, and I'm going to begin with verse 10. And I'm going to get there, just wait till everybody's there. We have a class we're running some students through, Minister's Training School. And in that class, we got some mighty warriors in there that are being trained up to be mightily used. And one of the dimensions that Rick Joyner saw happening in the latter days was what the church was going to have happen to them in this area of power. But the way the Lord laid it out is very important that you hear it in this light, because We are not driven to the power. The power follows us. We're driven to the love of God that's shed abroad. He so much loved the world that he gave. It's the love of God that drives us. It's just the power we get to enjoy to keep us. But this is how he puts it as he's wrapping up what he saw as a living movie. It says, "You seek to know and walk in my power so that you can heal the sick and perform miracles. But you have not even begun to comprehend the power that's in my word. To resurrect all the dead who ever lived on earth will not even cause me to strain. Amen. Right. I uphold all things by the power of my word. The creation exists because of my word. And it is held together by my word." And so he goes on and he says this. "Before the end," might be closer than we think, "I will reveal my power on earth." We've been talking about that power. "Even so, the greatest power that I've ever revealed on the earth, or ever will be, is still a very small demonstration of my power. I do not reveal my power," now listen, "to cause men and women to believe in my power, but to cause men to believe in my love." If you do not know my love, then my power will corrupt you. I do not give you love so you can know my power, but I give you power so you can know my love. The goal of your life must be love, not power. Then I will give you the power with which to love people. I will give you the power to heal the sick because you love them. And I love them, and I do not want them sick. Thought it was a good, healthy challenge as we are excited for all the power that God's releasing, and it seems to be increasing. But remember, it's driven by love. God so loved the world that he gave his son, and through that son, we got the power. But may our focus continuously stay on knowing Jesus and his love, and the power will just confirm it and set the captives free. So, in Revelations, John the Beloved laid out in this light. And look at verse 10, if you would. And this is as he's giving a picture of what the Lord was going to do in wrapping things up and bringing things to closure. He says, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven." Now remember, Jesus is already resurrected. This is the end of the time. He's now already a believer. He's full of power. He's living on an island and hearing from God, saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come." He's just revealing that it has come because the Lord has been resurrected and he's given this to us. And he says, "For the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Thank you, Jesus, that he's our ever intercessor. "And they," those that are believers, "overcome the enemy." Yours may say, "overcome him," small h. And they overcome him and they keep him intact by three powerful dimensions. Number one, reminding it's the blood of the Lamb. Everybody look at me. When we're talking about the blood of the Lamb, we're talking about the number one hookup we have is because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because he shed his perfect blood on our behalf, we get to receive that, and the enemy no longer has a hold on our life lest we give it to him. So we can continuously be directed to walk in victory and success because we are covered and under the blood, and the enemy knows that, and that's one of the tools that we can use when the enemy tries to come at us, is to remind him we're under the blood. And Jesus' blood has set us free. But that was one of the challenges that he gave to us. And we know how important that is. And then he goes on, he says this. and by the word of their testimony. Look at me. Folks, it started when you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got under the blood. But it continues. Now stop and think. Why did the Lord say, do not leave Jerusalem or the upper room until you get endued with what? Well, the Holy Ghost, which is going to bring power. But he says, because you're going to be then a witness. Now, we can say, well, I'm not comfortable going up and talking to people. The witness is you're a mighty man, a mighty woman of God. You live for the things of God, and people see God in your life. That is a witness. And because of the blood and because we're changing and we're looking more and more like Jesus all the time, how can you not win? Come on. And we do share. But don't get in bondage. I've had people say, oh, my, I got to be out witnessing to people all the time. You are a witness all the time. Wherever you go, the Holy Ghost goes, and you're a witness. If you're looking like an idiot out in public, you make the Holy Ghost look like an idiot, even though he's not. Well, hey, I thought you're saved. You don't act like that. No. I took something. I think it's very important to interject here when we're talking about the power of our words, because we know death and life is in the power of a what? And all of you know that James 3 deals with, hey, this is James, the beloved, talking about how a whole ship has one little rudder, and when they move that rudder, it takes a while, but that whole ship changes. And he equates that to our tongues. How powerful what we say. So again, tying it in how we keep the devil down is we continuously are saying what the Lord would say, and that's why we continue to be disciples of him, to know what he says and say it, because in that we keep the devil at bay, because our enemy is not people. The enemies are principalities and powers of darkness that will try to come and tell you things that aren't true. Exactly. And then it says it can start a whole forest fire. It could be good or bad. A Holy Ghost forest fire is pretty good. But a destructing fire is not. And so we have charge of this with the power of the Holy Ghost that he gave us for this tongue. So I gleaned this off what my wife shared with me on the internet this week. And it talked about this person with a full cup of coffee. And this person with a full cup of coffee was walking along, and somebody ran into him and shook it and spilt the coffee all over everything. And the question to this person was, what did you spill? Or what caused you to this? In fact, let me just put it as I took it off. You says, why did you spill the coffee? Why did you spill it? And the answer that they came back with was because somebody bumped into me. Wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Could have been milk. Could have been tea. If you don't think as a Christian, you're going to have people and things bumping into your life nonstop, you're dreaming. And whatever's in your cup is going to spill out. When you're under the hardest times and the most pressures, and when you haven't slept good or you're cold or things aren't going, when you run into something, what you're going to spill out of you is going to be what's in you. And I was telling my class this week, no longer an excuse for flipping somebody off. You get cut off at driving, or you get mad and you spew swear words and all that. Something is wrong. We got to get something different in our cup. It's your testimony. It's the power within you. If you haven't got that junk out, start changing what you're regularly saying to make different deposits in your cup. So when I run into people or people come against you or whatever, what spills out is love, forgiveness, grace, and acceptance. If we want to stay winning and addicted to Jesus, we got to make sure our cups are full of Jesus. So what spills out of us is not junk, but good stuff. So anyway, I told my wife, I got to have that. So I come here and Pastor Mike was able to run me a copy. But it is phenomenal to realize that what we're spilling out of our lives is what's already deposited. And that's why he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. But it will really speak when you bumped into, cut off, or you've been attacked in some way. It will tell us our level of maturity. And it just tells us, does the Lord love us less? No, this isn't a beating anybody up. This is just telling us, this is ridiculous. At this stage of the game, we're full of the Holy Ghost. We're Pentecostals. We should be addicted to Jesus and love. And we're still letting people step on our toes and we're getting hurt and we're letting them know what we think and so forth. We got to change what's in here and make some healthier deposits. I thought Paul says, think on the things that are good, pure, just, of good report. So that when you get bumped or hit, that's what spews out. My wife sometimes says, you're like in La La Land. You don't, it's not La La Land, it's Save My Life Land. I'm not taking my life too seriously. I'm taking his life very seriously and what he did for me. But I'm telling you, if I was to run my life by what people do or say or whatever, I could be all over the place. But I know that God's allowed me to put good deposits in here, and he doesn't love me any more than anybody else. Right. Challenge next time you lose it and you feel like you got to be abusive in what you say or your actions. Change. You can do it. You can do all things through who? Christ that strengthens you. So our words are the very element that the Lord uses, our testimony, to keep the enemy at bay. I think this flesh and blood that we're not fighting, but principalities and powers of darkness, is a real force. Do you know there are churches that don't even think there is spiritual warfare? They think it's whatever happens, happens. That's not how it works. The Bible says he stands over his prayers ready to perform it, his word. And he tells us that we can do all things through him. And he says if we continue in his word, then truly we're his disciples and we will know the truth. So there is a responsibility put on us. Not to make him love us anymore, not to make us better as far as in his eyes. He loves us no matter what. He even loves presidents and governors that really stretch you to that level of love. And I think that's why he said that, first of all, let prayers and supplications be made unto all, because it's a whole lot easier to pray for those leaders that love life, protect the innocent life, love America first, love Americans that are here legally. But that doesn't negate that we're supposed to be praying and believing for those that don't see it that way, because the Lord still loves them. And it's a healthy challenge to us to realize it works both ways. And my wife and I know, because sometimes we get a little bit louder when we're listening to certain things and saying things that probably we need to get a little bit better in the deposits of thinking the best when it comes to those that seem to be blinded. But we work at it because we're only as good is what we want to improve upon. Your goodness is God, but to be able to operate and not be, people will hate you. In fact, the scripture says this, when a man's or a woman's ways please the Lord, he causes even your enemies to be at peace with you. That's pretty profound and that's pretty cool. Back in Revelation 12. So the blood and our testimony. That's why we always got to have a testimony. In fact, you can sit there and just run down. I love the colors. I got up. I still breathe. Thank God I'm still going. I love whatever. You got all these things to be thankful. That's power of God in your life. And the third area as we look at it, says, they did not love their lives even unto death. That is a laying down our lives. If the enemy thinks he can get us riled up in the flesh, it means we're not dead to the flesh. Remember Romans 12, that we are to present our bodies as a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is only reasonable. And then, of course, not being conformed to the world. So there is a dimension in our lives that the Lord wants us to come to that place where we're willing to lay our lives down for the betterment of others. And so the third area, in the Bible, when you study the principles of God, three always represents completion. So the Lord knows what he's talking about, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, mind, spirit, soul. I mean, when we deal how God has set things up. Well, here, he realizes it's going to get bad out there. The accuser of the brother has already been defeated, but there's still a lot of those that are operating as accusers of the brethren. And those are the ones that you can't let rile and take away your joy. Remember when I shared 2 weeks ago, I think I shared out of James 3 there. The Lord says perilous time, or 2 Timothy 3, where he says perilous times are going to be upon when it's getting closer for the Lord. And one of the most profound statements I shared with you is there is going to be a whole lot of people that are going to have a form of godliness, but they will resist the power. And I'm telling you, we can't resist the power because the power follows God's love. And if we got God's love, the power is going to follow us. But there are going to be many that are going to flee from that. And he says, turn away from them. He didn't say that they're going to go to hell. He just says in this time, this perilous times, you're going to need those that want to equip and fight the good fight and go for the things of God. In fact, he says that we're to fight the good fight of God. And he says, in that good fight, he says, make the good confession amongst many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. Make the good confession amongst many witnesses. But we're to fight a good fight. And that good fight is a day-to-day thing when we get up. Church, we win. You're on the winning team. But there's a whole lot of others I believe the Lord wants us to help free. Because the freer is Jesus, and we got to get them to Jesus. That's why he's given us a ministry to reconcile people to the Lord. So that he can free them, empower them, and they can walk in victory. And they can be addicted to winning because they get addicted to Jesus. Let me close with this scripture this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5. James 4:7 says we're to be submitted to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But I want you to look at what Peter laid out after he got restored from Jesus, was used by the Holy Ghost. Verse 8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary called the devil. He's walking about as a roaring lion. Now, this isn't the roaring lion that we're talking about that Karen brought the word. We're talking about the counterfeit. Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, Peter would not have put that in here if it wasn't capable of Christians being devoured. We're not talking about going to hell. We're talking about leaving earth early. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings that you're experiencing is being experienced in the brotherhood in the world. Look at me. Many are the afflictions that we go through. Many are the sufferings we go through. But he says, count it all joy because the Lord is delivering us out of them all. And you're on the team that gets to be on the win. You get to be on the podium to receive your crowns when we do graduate because you have fought the good fight and you've laid hold of eternal life, and you're making the good witness amongst many, and you're living as a good witness. Amen. So number one, how do we defeat the devil? By the blood of the what? Lamb. The Lamb. And number two, by the word of what? Our testimony. Number three, be willing to what? Lay down our, not love our life. Live a life sacrificial to others. And if you're in that category, you're in a very safe, but you're also in a very powerful place. And guess who doesn't want you to stay in that place? He hates the idea that the body comes together and learns how they can operate and stay happy. Right. You know, the worst thing to him is when he can't get Christians unhappy.
Good.
When he can't get Christians depressed. When he can't get Christians living in defeat. That just irks him. Because he does know he's got a time frame. But it doesn't take anything away from, it's okay. Let him feel rotten. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you have been birthed and received the Lord to do mighty exploits for him. Amen?
Amen?
We will celebrate one day, not that distant future, together, and we'll laugh at the struggles we go through. But thank God for the willingness to struggle down here, to lay our lives down, that we might take others with us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we've come into your house today. As brothers and sisters, equipped with the living word that's in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. I thank you, Lord, that there's any tuning in today that's not made Jesus Christ their Lord, that they will confess you, Jesus, as their Lord and believe in your heart that Father God raised you from the dead. And Father, we thank you that we are more than conquerors through you. And when we leave today, church begins as we take this outside these four walls. And we become those living epistles that you've called us to be. And we give you the praise and all the glory. And all this in agreement said, amen, amen. God bless you. Bless those that have tuned in. Some of you may have to leave. You're welcome. The rest of you, we need you to grab your children and then come back. Because we're going to meet right here.
We're going to get started in about 5 minutes, so just use the bathroom or whatever you need to do. Grab your children, and we'll start in about